from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. They will take you to 4 o'clock and take you into the weekend. If you missed it earlier, we're giving away 2 tickets to the Rivercats game on August 16th. That is the night that ESPN 1320 will have a suite at Sutter Health Park. Those 2 tickets are to get into our suite. To win those tickets, go to ESPN1320.com and enter the keyword pitch. Today's keyword is pitch. P-I-T-C-H.
Pitch.
Throw the pitch.
Throw the pitch. Hurl the pitch.
Hurl the pitch? Yeah. O2 pitch?
Oh,
strikeout pitch. Oh, I'm
now you
on
found
it now. Here we go. Best pitch.
Pitchfork.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yep.
That's a really good one. High pitch.
Inside pitch.
Outside pitch. The A's taking on the Dodgers tonight. Speaking of baseball, we'll dive into that a little bit in the next segment. So yesterday, somebody called D'Lo and KC. We were talking about the NFL Top 100.
Yep.
And we were going through and we were saying where the 49ers were and where the Raiders were. And that person called in and they asked Jesse, they said, hey, they were talking about the Top 100 NFL players but didn't say who the Top 10 were. Well, it's because the top 10 hadn't come out yet. This is the list curated by NFL Network where they poll players and players create this list of the top 100. Or there's some formula they use to rank the top 100 players. The top 10 is announced tonight at 5 o'clock p.m. on NFL Network. Alas, we're going to tell you what the top 10 is right now. The list isn't out, but we can glean what the list is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've got for you. I've got Chris Jones from the Chiefs. I've got TJ Watt from the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yep. Those are probably 1 and 2.
Yeah, I can rock with that. Trent Williams.
4, probably.
Nah, I think Trent's going to be like 6 or 7.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Max Crosby.
Oh, he's up there.
I think Crosby's going to be like 9 or 10.
Okay.
Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Garrett is who I think is going to be 2.
Ooh. Yeah. I think he'll be above?
Yeah.
Oh. So
Miles Garrett's just different, dude.
Yeah. Oh, no, he is. We were going through like lists yesterday.
Lamar Jackson and Tyreek Hill.
Lamar Jackson and Tyreek Hill. So. Yeah, like going through the list, like I was searching for the top 100 and I found other top 100s and it was like McCaffrey first, Mahomes second, or Mahomes first and McCaffrey second. I think Mahomes will be number one, and McCaffrey will be number two, and Garrett will be number three. There's just such a clear separation between the running back position and McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm surprised that Chris Jones is in the top 10. I love that Max Crosby is in there because I think he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce's still there, obviously. TJ Watt, Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't have any real qualms with the top 10, honestly.
No, I don't think so. Like, we went through some of the guys. Like, Justin Jefferson probably would have been in top 10, but look at who his quarterback is this year, and he had injury problems last year.
I think that's why Mahomes has to be one.
Okay.
The fact they won the Super Bowl last year with whatever the hell that team was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that when the 49ers in the fourth quarter on 3rd and 4 did not convert and had to instead kick a field goal and give the Chiefs the ball back with 2 minutes left or just under 2 minutes left, whatever it was. The fact that everybody in America watching that game knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
Even with Rashi Rice and Mecole Hardman and who's the Sky Moore.
Sky Moore go for the game winner?
No, that was Mecole Hardman.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The fact that he just did that with those guys still.
Mm.
And then on 4th and 1 in overtime, season on the line, they go read option. He keeps it and runs for a first down. He's just different, dude. We talked a lot about inevitability with the Denver Nuggets, right?
Yeah.
In the West, it just felt like, man, the Nuggets are just a machine. That wound up not being the case when they ran into Minnesota. But, dude, that's just how you're not supposed to, in the modern NFL, you're not supposed to be able to do what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs did last year. You're not supposed to be able to generate enough offense to win a Super Bowl with that kind of receiving core. And he did because he's Patrick Mahomes.
He manufactured receivers last year. Rashi Rice became a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a rookie, ends up with right at 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he was just really, really good.
Unbelievable, though, how he was able to find a guy when all these other guys, like, couldn't catch it all. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they lost games early in the season because of their receiving core.
Yeah, that Week 1.
I mean, how many games did they lose because of one receiver?
At least one.
At least one. I think it was more like 2 or 3, and it was a really, really tough look. But, yeah, I think he's number one. I think he's number one overall.
I want to...
And that's why I keep him in fantasy every year.
That's fair enough. It's also, you know, there's strategy and stuff, and there's, you know, I'm sure you could make the argument that, oh, if you draft quarterback X instead of Patrick Mahomes, there's only this much points difference and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah. Dude, it's just really fun to root for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that and we win. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, the strategy has worked for
you
us.
You just don't want to have to rename your team. I think that's what it is.
That is very possible.
While we're here, while we're talking about Mahomes and just inevitability and greatness, you know me, I love logic in sports arguments. I try to maintain logic as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I get really frustrated when there's double standards and...
Or you're talking to a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Yeah, it's right. Okay. Like, sure. out on the Cowboys. No, I get frustrated. And I know I'm guilty of it sometimes. Like, I'm right there. But I try really hard not to be.
Okay.
I try really hard to go, okay, if I believe X, Y, and Z to be true with team A, and X, Y, and Z exists for team B, then it also has to be true. Like, one of the big knocks on Brock Purdy. Help me square this here.
Okay.
One of the big knocks on Brock Purdy is that he's only good because of his situation. Because he has the best receivers, the best offensive playmakers and the best offensive play caller and the best left tackle. And it's just the best situation that a quarterback could possibly be in. That's the only reason that he is good.
Okay.
The argument is that a player like Justin Herbert or a player like Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes is in this bucket too, but I'm going to leave him out for a moment. A player like Lamar Jackson, they're supposed to be situation-proof. That's what separates them from Brock Purdy, is that their situations don't matter. They can be great. They can win regardless of what the situation is. And yet, every time Justin Herbert face plants, whether it's in the regular season or the postseason, it's, oh, the receivers. Oh, the coaching.
The coach.
Oh, the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Lamar Jackson, in every playoff game he's played, doesn't play well, and it's, well, his receivers. What was the game plan? What was the Chiefs' defense, and they didn't adjust, and this and that? He's supposed to be situation-proof. Josh Allen, same thing. Now, Josh Allen, I give a little bit of leeway to, because he did everything you needed to do. He scored on the road. It was the AFC Championship, right? The 13 seconds? The
AFC title game? Yeah.
He scored on the road at Arrowhead with 13 seconds left, which is supposed to win you the game. And Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were just ridiculous, and they wound up winning that game. Yep. It didn't matter. So I give Josh Allen a little bit of leeway. But Justin Herbert is the one I circle the most. Because Justin Herbert, in the football nerd culture, is just this god of quarterbacking.
Oh, yeah.
He is. Go find a NFL podcast. Find somebody who deep dives NFL stuff, whether it's at The Ringer or ESPN. They will espouse the gospel of Justin Herbert. Oh, my God. You see the way he moves in and out of the pocket, and he's big arm. Did you see this throw up the seam, 45 yards on a dime over the safety in front of the corner? Oh, my God, Justin Herbert. And yet I look up. Where's the winning?
5-12.
And you don't get to tell me it's situation, because he's supposed to be situation proof.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the rising tide that raises all boats. I see no boats.
You see no boats raising?
I see no boats.
Well, hey, look, this year, like, they took all of his, any of his, like.
Keenan Allen, gone.
Gone. Like
Mike Williams, gone.
Austin Eckler, gone.
Out of here. That's probably smart.
Well, yeah, but gone. Either way, like, they're all gone. Like,
and Gus Edwards is there now.
Any of his, I probably won't draft him, though. He burned me once. Any, like, I think your standard guy like Herbert, like, you hope that he can create players, right? That's like where Mahomes has been so brilliant. Mm-hmm. But you got to a point last year where you're like, okay, we really did bottom out, where, like, you can't walk into, they still won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They walked into the season and had nothing at the wide receiver position at all. They lose a game early because Travis Kelce misses it because he's injured. They have no other bona fide starter at all. He still goes on and wins the Super Bowl.
That's why I left him out of that bucket.
He's the only one that could possibly have done that. But now we're getting to a point where Herbert has had all of his wide receivers gone. Josh Allen lost Diggs. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these teams, like, I want to see that Brock Purdy can create some of these players, but I also, like, I think Ayuk, his best seasons have been with him as an up-and-coming wide receiver.
George Kittle's career revitalized.
Revitalized. You know, like, Christian McCaffrey is a superstar.
He's great regardless.
Probably. But at the same time, I'm looking at this and going, how can you blame a guy because he's got good weapons? Like, and there will come a point where he has to create more, right? And you can't blame him because, like, Ricky Pearsall is a first round pick, whether that guy works out or not. Like, if he's going to be a stud wide receiver in the NFL, a lot of it will be on Brock Purdy's ability to turn him into one of those guys.
Right. Ricky Pearsall, who, by the way, was a reach in the first round. Oh, my God, the Niners lost the draft. Did you see they drafted? But if he's good, if he turns out to be a perennial 1,000-yard receiver, I don't know if he will be, but if he does, it's going to be, well, God, look at the weapons.
Well, yeah, and that, and he was a first-round pick already.
Right, so he's got a first-round pick out there.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's my, so you're, maybe Josh Allen this year, again, the Bills are in tough shape, just cap-wise.
Yeah.
They're in bad shape. But if the Bills are really good again and they're going to the playoffs and they're winning playoff games, salute, you know. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert might be better this year because Jim Harbaugh is the coach. They've improved their offensive line. I'm not 100% sure they've improved their receiving core, but if Justin Herbert's that dude, that shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
One of the big things has been his average depth of target is consistently down near the bottom of the league. Justin Herbert's.
Wow.
This guy who has this laser rocket arm, this howitzer on his right shoulder, it just doesn't matter because it's a lot of short pass. And maybe that was the coaching. Maybe that's what Brandon Staley, the head coach, wanted. And maybe we see some new version of Justin Herbert where he does take over the world this year.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, but are you gonna downplay it because Jim Harbaugh is his coach now?
No.
Are you gonna tell me that Justin Herbert couldn't do it? He needed Jim Harbaugh to get there. No, yeah. No, because that's ridiculous. That would be ridiculous. That would be outrageous if I went, Justin Herbert's actually not good. This is Jim Harbaugh's doing. That's dumb. Just the way it's dumb when someone goes, well, Brock Purdy's not actually good. It's just his coach. Like, no, he's just good at football. It's okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to say, if you took Brock Purdy and put him on the Chargers and put Justin Herbert on the 49ers, sure, man.
Okay. But we can't prove it.
Right, and it's not, but that's not... The argument is that Brock Purdy is good because of his situation, which ergo, if A equals B and B equals C, if Brock Purdy's only good because of his situation and the thing that separates all these other quarterbacks from him, these top 10, 12, whoever, however many guys you have in front of,
yeah.
The thing that separates those guys is that they don't need to be in the perfect situation. They don't need to be good. They don't need all this. Then why isn't everybody all statistically better than Brock Purdy if they're all supposed to be raising all boats?
Yeah.
The logic doesn't track to me, James.
I'm with you,
I don't
Kyle.
Like it.
I think it's
I don't
funny.
Like it.
Both of us, we do base in most of our thought.
I try.
In logic.
I try.
I mean, on occasion, we can get emotional and like lose our way. But,
no doubt.
But for the most part, like when we talk Kings trades, when we talk... you know, rosters and everything else, it's based in logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the conversation we're having typically is about salary cap. It's about, you know, team structure. It's about
sure.
like how you can add a guy to your team that averages 17 shots per game. And there should be at least some concern that there's not going to be enough shots for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because like realistically, it could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not going to say like DeMar DeRozan shot 8 more times last year than Harrison Barnes. And then on top of that, he took 8 free throw attempts per game,
mm-hmm.
which means he had the ball even more
mm-hmm.
that weren't just straight up field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So where are those shots coming from? And that's where like you have to be used logic. You can't just say, well, you know, Trey Lyles isn't going to shoot as much. Like Trey Lyles shot like 6 times last year. So
yeah.
What? Okay, we're going to take one shot away from him? Which is,
Trey Lyles is not allowed to shoot this
which
year.
Which is like 12% of his
zero
shots.
Zero field goal attempts for Trey Lyles this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, like 18% of his shots you're just going to take away from him?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you're going to have to take these. It's a lot of extra shots.
Here's I'm going to try and tie this quarterback thing into the Kings as well. Here's where it fits for me. When DeMar DeRozan was going to go to the Lakers, who are not a good defensive team outside of Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
When DeMar DeRozan was going to go to the Lakers, it was like, oh, man.
Big three.
Oh, DeMar DeRozan to the Lakers. Whew, everybody watch out. DeRozan going home. Whew, everybody watch out for the Lakers. And then he goes to Sacramento, and it's like, well, their defense. I don't like that. I don't like it.
Did you see that they're
like what?
They were both like the winning and losing. Like ESPN ran an entire thing where, like DeMar DeRozan leaving the Bulls was a huge win for DeMar DeRozan, and the Kings also lost a trade. You're like, well, you got DeMar DeRozan in 2 colored jerseys, and one it's a win, and the other it's a loss, like. What are we doing?
The
wild.
I've tried to avoid this because I do like Harrison Barnes very much.
Yeah.
I am a count me in as a Harrison Barnes fan. And the criticism I had of him was because I wanted to see more. Like I wanted to see him thrive.
Mm-hmm.
It was never because he's bad. But on the other hand, we have to be real about what Harrison Barnes was. And this idea that dealing Harrison Barnes is some catastrophic blow to the Kings roster is wild. And I've seen it in multiple spots. Like Jason Timpf was on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I can't really grade the trade until I see how they replace Harrison Barnes. I get their front court depth is definitely thin, but it wasn't like if they had gone into this year with Harrison Barnes instead of DeMar DeRozan, would be like, wow, look at that front court depth.
Mm.
It's awesome. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I think the idea of Harrison Barnes and the actuality, like watching Harrison Barnes, the reality of Harrison Barnes, two totally different things. And how many times are we going to talk about like the need to replace Harrison Barnes? And then you replace him with a guy who literally averages double the stats. Almost every category. The only thing he doesn't do is shoot the three ball as well.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you went from a guy who averaging 12 points a game to a guy who averages 24 points a game. A guy who averages like 2 assists per game to a guy who averages 5 assists per game. Like every stat.
DeRozan probably out-rebounds him too?
Oh, by considerably. I think it's 4.5 to 2.5.
Yikes. 2.5 boards a game is what Barnes was at last year?
He might have been.
It had to be more than that. I refuse to
believe. 3-0. My bad. 3-0. Yeah, it got all the way down to 3. And DeMar DeRozan averaged 1.3. So you basically increased, 4.3.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You basically increased your, by like 46% at that position, your rebounding number.
But like, actually, you're probably doing more than that because what was Keegan at last year?
6.
Because if Keegan's going to play the 4.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I like I said, we will be discussing DeMar DeRozan, the Kings, and their roster plenty. It's just that logic. It's the what? Watch out for DeMar DeRozan. Oh, Clippers, Lakers. Oh man, if they get DeMar, and then the Kings get him, and it's like, whoop, lost the trade.
Oh, that's
like,
horrible.
Dude, like what?
They have a C-minus soft season.
No, if the take had been like, well, the Lakers can get DeMar DeRozan, it's just not going to matter. Or the Clippers can get DeMar DeRozan. It's just not, like, it just doesn't move the needle a ton. And then the Kings got him, and it was, yeah, it just doesn't move. Okay, fine. At least the logic tracks for me. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but the logic follows. I can see where your argument is. I don't see where it is when it was DeMar DeRozan's going to change everything for the Lakers, who couldn't stop a nosebleed on the perimeter, to the Kings get DeMar DeRozan, and it's like, ooh, that defense, though.
I would say this too. If your argument was that DeMar DeRozan on a mid-level exception for the Lakers is better than DeMar DeRozan at $24 million on the Kings, okay. But I have yet to hear that argument. You overpaid him so much. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, the Kings overpaid him. And how much did the Clippers give Harden? A 2 year 70?
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Wow. Something like that. I did like $35 million a year? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, 2 and 70.
Yeah. So it's just tough because you praise one team for doing one thing, but again.
And this isn't Kings specific, by the way.
No.
This is railing against the lack of logic. Consistent logic through an argument.
You know, James Harden last season, 16.6 points, 8.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists, 5 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you can't, he's $35 million a year?
I messed up so bad last year. I big time regret thinking the Clippers had something.
Mm.
I was on board.
You know, but now the excuse is, oh, well, but, you know, Paul George is gone. So it's going to open up the opportunities for James Harden again. It's like, okay, well, he still doesn't play defense and he's literally the same age as, he's 34, almost 35 years old, same age as DeMar DeRozan. You get praise for one, but the other guy is not, he don't have any praise for him.
Well, James Harden is the system, though.
Okay. Who averaged eight less points per game last season than DeMar DeRozan.
I don't see it with James Harden, dude. I never have. And I don't buy the Clippers. I thought last year when they were really cooking, it was like, oh, James Harden kind of found his niche.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good, and it turned out it wasn't the case.
Mm.
We're past the James Harden being the singularly impactful player. Because on those Rockets teams, I'm not a James Harden fan, but if you go look at those Rockets teams that were pushing the Kevin Durant Warriors to seven games.
Yeah.
In the conference finals, it was James Harden. It was Chris Paul. Not a super old Chris Paul, but a definitely aging Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's in his early 30s at that point. And then, like, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, good player, but nobody's putting him in a big three.
Yeah.
PJ Tucker got a ton of minutes. Like, Clint Capella. That was the James Harden show.
Yeah.
And he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we're past that now.
Well, I mean, that's like 4 or 5 years ago. It's tough. Like,
dog, seven.
Seven, yeah.
7 years ago.
It goes fast, right? So
I learned yesterday Gordon Hayward was in the NBA for 14 years.
you did not recover from
that. On my way home yesterday, I'm listening to a podcast, not even a sports podcast. I'm listening to a different podcast. And Hayward came up somehow. I can't remember if they were talking about the city or whatever. But it hit me again. Like 14 years.
It's wild.
14 years of my life gone while Gordon Hayward was in the NBA.
It's wild.
Huh. It only gets worse. Can't wait.
Yep.
All right. I swear to God, we're going to tell you where Golden 1 Center ranked in this list of stadiums. We're going to do that next. Where they ranked will shock you. That's James and Kyle. We're on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hi, welcome in everybody. A's and Dodgers tonight. Let's talk about it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. 6:40 is your first pitch at the Coliseum. Joey Estes takes the mound for the green and gold. Gavin Stone taking the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And let me tell you, if there was ever a time for this year's Oakland A's to catch a World Series contender like the Dodgers, this is the time to do it.
This is the moment.
The Los Angeles Dodgers in July went 11-13, and they were outscored by their opponents 104-137. It was the first time in 45 months that they had been outscored by an opponent in a month. 45 baseball months.
Not overall months.
September of 2017 was the last time their opponent scored more runs than them in a month.
7 years.
7 years.
Wow.
Insane. Just totally insane. So that's the kind of slide the Dodgers are in right now. Like they are wobbly. And it didn't get the trade deadline. The day of the trade deadline, they lost to the Padres in a game where they smoked a 5-0 lead. They led 5-0 after the first inning and lost on a walk-off. And then the next night, they lost 8-1. Clayton Kershaw goes 3 2/3 innings, doesn't record a strikeout for the first time in a start in his career. Like, they are just in bad shape. Meanwhile, the A's, who were not supposed to be a World Series contender, in July, 15-9 record, outscored their opponents 147-103.
What?
A good baseball team in July.
Their run differential is coming
climbing
down. Climbing. I mean,
climbing back the right direction.
They're negative 63.
Come on.
But when you factor in that the Chicago White Sox, possibly the worst team in the history of the world, is a negative 229.
Oh, my God.
A negative 229.
They have lost 17 games in a row?
Yeah. It's a tough look.
They're on pace. They are on pace to be the worst team of all time. The Chicago White Sox are.
That's amazing.
Like not wow, they're really bad, but there's been 40 teams where no. The 2024 Chicago White Sox could go down as the worst Major League Baseball team at least in the modern era.
That's amazing.
They're on pace to win less than 40 games.
It's crazy because we talked about the A's early in the season and their win total was, what, 57.5?
Yeah.
That was their projected win total. They're 45. Like, they're on pace to win like 64, 65 games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Not bad.
They're hanging in there.
Yeah.
And they're starting to roll. Like, you're seeing guys like Brent Rooker, guys like Lawrence Butler, Shea Langeliers really starting to hit.
Yeah.
And this might come down to a really interesting pitching matchup. So,
the A's aren't going to make the playoffs.
No.
Spoiler alert. But they could catch the Angels. The A's are only 2.5 games back of the Los Angeles Angels, everybody.
I love it.
Get excited. And to make matters better, the A's run differential you mentioned was minus 63. The Angels minus 94.
Oh, yeah. And with the one bummer...
I'm tracking this the rest of the year.
They're not playing each other again. That's the one downfall. Like, you're not going to play each other. But, man, I think it's possible that the A's won't finish last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This series, though, is tough. Even though the Dodgers have been struggling, the A's are not some juggernaut all of a sudden.
No.
they could very easily. I know they went in, they took 2 out of 3 from Philly, but they also went into Atlanta and got pushed around a little bit in that series. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Dodgers came out and either won this series or swept it. But I like Oakland's chances more now than I would have 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're the team that's coming in that's at least on a roll. I think the one thing is the A's kind of had the wind taken out of their sails by Webb in the final game against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe you quieted their bats a little bit, but, you know, it's tough. This A's team, they need pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Estes has been, like, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a beacon of hope. You know, he's the one young starter that you have coming up who's actually, like, maybe making some headway at 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His last couple of outings haven't been great, but he did have a complete game shutout at the beginning of July. Like, you're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, and maybe he can sort of carry you in this game. But
yeah,
I don't know. This is good. This is what you want right here. If you're a team who's kind of, you want one of your young pitchers going up against the Dodgers and learning what it is to go up against a team that's, you know, 1 through 9 professional hitters and just stay rake.
The Dodgers are 15-15 in their last 30.
Mm.
The A's 16-14 in their last 30. This is Gavin Stone, though, is the I don't want to say the one pitcher because LA has a couple of really tough guys. Gavin Stone's been excellent. The rookie for LA. What's going to be fun about this game is the Dodgers are in a little bit of a similar spot to the A's offense-wise. They can generate runs a little easier, but if you can keep them in the ballpark, you can hang with them. It's just when they start hitting the ball over the fence that they get really, really tough to keep up with, because they'll hit the ball over the fence, and then they'll manufacture 3 runs in an inning without a home run. But if you can start keeping them in the yard, then you've got a real chance to hang with them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're getting Gavin Stone sort of, this is his 20th start on the season. He's been excellent all season long, but the last 4 starts, he's only gone 6 mm-hmm. one time. You might be catching him on a little bit of a rookie downswing, but man, he's good. How do they just manufacture pitchers?
It's ridiculous.
They have for decades too.
It's just they had at one point this year, they had 7 starters on the IL.
Mm.
7 the starting pitchers that you could see fitting into a rotation.
The A's don't have 7 starters in their entire organization. Like, talking single A, rookie ball, they don't have 7 reasonable starters that you would mind throwing out there for a game.
No, definitely not.
I mean, Ross Stripling continues to start. Like, I mean, he just lowered his ERA 0.4, but it was at 6. He's down at like 5-6. Like, and he's got tons of starts. You're like, what is happening? It's just, it's tough. Like,
not a good spot for the A's right now.
Yeah.
I don't think they're winning tonight. I don't feel good about it.
I'm taking them.
You're taking the A's.
I'm taking the A's.
I'm taking the, I don't have the over under up in front of me right now.
Yeah. I like Gavin Stone. The one thing he has done, he's given up 5 home runs over his last 4 starts, and A's like to mash. Let's go. 5 home runs.
I think four of those homers came against Houston.
No, he's given up. He gave up 2 homers against Houston, 1 against Boston, 1 against Philly, 1 against Arizona. But on this season, this is what I mean. It seems like he's hitting a little bit of a wall. Through his first like 13, well, no, his first 15 starts, he'd only given up 6 home runs.
Yeah,
he's given up 5 over the last 4.
Yeah, his first time pitching this deep into a season.
Yeah. So this might be the moment that you take advantage of a young starter. But then again, the A's are throwing a young starter at them as well.
Yeah, I think that's something the Dodgers are able to take advantage of more than the A's. I do like. I'm gonna ride with the over today, though. Give me the over 8.5. I'm gonna go Dodgers 6, A's 3.
That's fair.
Yeah. Dodgers 6, A's 3.
I mean, I want to go with the A's here, but if the A's are going to win, it's going to be 8-3. It's going to be something ridiculous where they just hit a bunch of home runs.
That's it. That's the way. That's the way the A's are gonna have.
They will have hit 7 home runs to get 8 runs, but but that's I'm just calling my shot right now.
Over or under 1.5 home runs for the A's tonight.
Over.
Okay.
1.5.
Yeah,
I'm taking it just because I feel like Gavin Stone is he's a little shaky right now, and I don't know that he's run up against a slow pitch softball team.
You know what? It's a fair point. A's Dodgers. Gavin Stone on the bump for LA. Joey Estes on the mound for the A's. That is coming up. First pitch set for 6:40. All right. Let's get to this. Let's get to these rankings. This ranking of all of the stadiums in NFL, MLB, and NBA, and they're ranked by their average review rating on Yelp, Google, TripAdvisor, and Facebook. First of all, I hope they had some kind of AI that did this research for them.
Oh.
Because I would hate to be the kid who they're paying $3 per 1,000 page views to go, "Hey, go average the Yelp, Google, TripAdvisor, and Facebook ratings for every stadium in the NFL, NBA, and MLB." That sounds like a terrible, terrible job.
That does sound like a terrible job.
Not something I would want to do. Number one on the list, Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field in Green Bay is the number one stadium in America, according to an average of the reviews on Yelp, Google, TripAdvisor, and Facebook.
Okay, you know why? Because if you were to somehow give them a below perfect rating, they're going to send like 4 cheeseheads to your house who own part of the franchise, and they're going to beat you up. The cheeseheads are coming for you. So every time it's perfect. Perfect score.
PNC Park in Pittsburgh, the Pirates Stadium, is number 2.
Okay.
Camden Yards, Orioles Ballpark at Camden Yards, I think it's called.
That's beautiful.
It looks incredible. I've not been. That's number 3. Busch Stadium for the Cardinals is number 4.
Okay.
Oracle Park, the San Francisco Giants, number 5.
Okay. I mean, it's beautiful. Like, baseball parks, yeah, it's gorgeous.
The Cassia Center for the Miami Heat is number 9. I've never been.
I haven't been either.
Anyways, we're going to skip to the end here. Because you get down to the end, there's 90 of these stadiums, and it's a tough scene for people, for teams in Northern California and fans, people who are fans of teams, the Raiders is how I'm trying to get there. I was going to say people who are fans of a team in Northern California is no longer, and doesn't matter. Anyways, at number 83, the Chase Center. At number 83, it is just behind the Moda Center.
Oh.
In Portland.
Okay, so I've been to both of these stadiums quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball stadium, I'm not giving Moda Center that low. Like, first, it's the one stadium in the league that I will tell you, I think it's where we sit as media, but it's so loud that you need earplugs. Like, they crank the music, and I think it's possible that where the media sits just happens to be the height of the speakers.
Mm.
It's an older stadium, but it has a lot of charm, and the fans are great, and they're always loud and crazy, but the like stereo system is really in your face.
So what I've noticed on a lot of these is I'm guessing the separation between number like 90 and 30 is probably not very wide because a lot of these are like 4.5 stars.
Okay.
Because it's mostly 5-star ratings, had a great time, brilliant, love the Blazers, da-da-da-da-da. I'm on the Moda Center right now. I can't find a bad review because Google indexes all of the good ones up top. Hang on.
Okay.
I'm going to find a bad review for the Moda Center because I want to find out if it's like Golden 1. Because the Golden 1 reviews, I was going through some of the Google reviews this morning. Here we go. Here's a 3-star review for the Moda Center. Quick entry, friendly staff, acoustics not great, and having a few mixed drinks will cost you a car payment. Visited on a weekday, no wait time, reservation recommended, yes.
Well, I mean,
This is on track with Golden 1 Center, okay?
Yeah.
I was flipping through the Golden 1 Center reviews. And everybody's experience at a stadium is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to take out the I had beef with the person at this register. Like, okay, that's just you. But so many of them, perfect timing here. You can yell something if you want.
Good morning! But I did that and I couldn't think of a different
one. That could just be your thing now.
It could.
Good morning, insiders!
I love that for you. we're talking about Golden One Center being ranked 86th on a list of the net. But we're going through. It's based on average review scores at TripAdvisor, yeah. Yelp, Google, and Facebook.
Yeah, yes. I saw that, and my dumbass was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I went and read some of the reviews.
That's what we're going through. That's what we're going
tremendous.
Through right now.
Did you get to the lady who was upset about the length of the line?
Yes.
Okay, there was another one. Unsafe for Women. That was the one that caught my attention.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was Unsafe for Women because Usher... yelled at them too loud.
Like Usher Raymond?
Usher.
Oh, and Usher.
That is an Usher.
Yes.
Some would argue that's the Usher, but no, I meant more like a
right.
Usher.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I was trying to say. So there are people who, some of them were like, one star. Instead of saying TSA, they said TCA. Like, they're like mm-hmm. TCA agents at the airport.
Yeah.
But so many of the quote-unquote bad reviews were upper level steep. Like
I saw that one too. Well, they're not there's wrong.
Every stadium in America.
Yeah. Well.
I've sat in the nosebleeds at a lot of places, trust. And you go out and every almost two I can't think of an upper deck I've been to where I've been like, I'm comfortable walking up the stairs.
Yeah, but Golden One is one of the steepest upper bowls. And it's because they have such a huge lower bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The upper bowl is so incredibly steep that when they were building the stadium, they couldn't put cup holders on the seat, the back of the seat in front of you. You know how that's a new thing where mm-hmm. the cup holder is on the seat mm-hmm. in front of you. So you can just grab.
Right.
They can't do that because it's a trip hazard because it's so steep. So, and it's so
all
narrow.
Right, that's a tough scene. That's a tough scene. Fair enough.
Paul McCartney was first.
Yes.
I believe WWE was second. If it wasn't second, it was really, really close. It was one of the first events at the Golden One Center. It was a pay-per-view. I had several tickets. Like the WWE had given me some tickets, and I think the station had given me some tickets. So I had a pair of really good seats. So I tried to do the cool thing, and I walked up. The second I went like as high as I could and found a guy and his son and was like, hey, I got some extra tickets there in the lower bowl if you guys would like them. And he took them and I turned to walk down. And I'm like looking like this doesn't look normal. So like I very gingerly walked down to this. How many years have the Golden One Center been open? I've never
10?
Been to the upper deck again.
8 years, I think.
I've never walked up those steps again.
It's wild.
It's a bit. It's nothing. You don't really think about it until you turn to walk down them, and then you realize, oh, this is a bit. This is a bit jarring.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It was intense, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not doing that again.
So you agree with the ranking then?
I do not.
So this is what's...
I legit laughed at that, like, because I don't know where Crypto ranked. The Crypto is ass. That is a horrible, horrible venue.
Stand by.
The Crypto, so Crypto has,
you
like...
You mean Staples, right?
Well, yes, the Staples.
Staples.
They have the lower...
26.
And that's with all of the different arenas?
Mm-hmm.
Man, get out of here.
Above Madison Square Garden.
The Staples Ooh. Center, you have the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have like three rows of suites.
Yes.
So your second level is really like your third. It is so high that I had tickets to the Grammys in that section. I'm like, what am I? I'm not sitting here. Like, I can't see anything. This is stupid.
Yeah, that's wild. I hate when I have tickets to the Grammys. Ugh!
Well,
I got it. Stop it. I was covering the Grammys for 102.5. My first stint for 102.5.
Either 11 or 12 shows.
Beyonce
at Golden
and
One
Prince
Center.
Opened up.
Golden One Center is a great venue for a concert.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely spectacular.
That's
literally where, just went to one the other day and it was amazing.
That's where. So many of these negative reviews. First of all, not a single one from a basketball fan. All the negative reviews are concert related.
Yeah, and if you look at the pictures that are attached to them, they're a specific type of concert.
Well,
I don't know if you looked at the pictures like I did, but I was like, well, that wasn't Chris Brown. I know that. That wasn't a Chris Brown show.
I've seen a variety of concerts, though. I was there for McCartney. I was there for Billy Joel, but I also went to, like...
That's not a variety.
No, but I went to Maroon 5. I went to Timberlake.
Okay, now you're...
I saw... Oh, man.
Don't say Ed Sheeran.
Have you seen Snoop?
Depeche Mode.
Yeah, you're not.
I did see Ed Sheeran, but I was front row. That was different. No, there was...
Ed Sheeran was here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know you traveled all the way to Las Vegas to see Ed Sheeran and didn't. No. But it's fine. I can't laugh because I traveled to Las Vegas to see Adele and didn't. So it was fine.
But we had Gaga tickets that weekend, so we did see Gaga.
This guy.
Yeah. Just saying.
I just went to dinner and it's like, well, let's just...
Well, dinner in Vegas, like you're out for four people, you're at $650. Yeah. Everyone's drinking water.
I got to do Vegas.
That's
like
the killer. Yeah. That's the killer right there. It's like if you go to a steakhouse, you expect to pay a lot for your meal. It's when, oh, yeah, you get a drink. Let's get two. And then you realize you just paid like $190 for beverages.
Yeah. We went to Mexican food like right across from Allegiance. And it was, there's four of us. It was $650. And the server came over and said, hey, hope you guys don't have Ed Sheeran tickets. And the next, starting 30 minutes later. We're like, why? The show just got canceled. Like, seriously.
So that didn't happen to us. It was canceled in advance, but we just decided, well, we've borrowed the room. Let's just
go. Right across the street, walk across a bridge.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
83 Chase Center, 84 Intuit Dome, not even open yet, 85 SoFi Stadium, 86 Golden One Center.
Why do people do this?
87 Levi's Stadium, 88 Allegiant Stadium, Levi's 89 sucks. The Oakland Coliseum.
Allegiant is awesome. Allegiant is a phenomenal stadium.
I'm guessing the concert that you were supposed to go to there that didn't happen.
Trashed.
Got a bunch of one-star reviews.
100%. What's funny
we gotta
about...
go, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, the hell with you then.
Well, no, I just...
Well,
I'm worried,
fine. Let's go.
I'm worried about you starting your show late.
Oh.
I'm just letting you know that this is the time we got to go. You can continue, though.
Okay. No, we'll go. Let's go, and I'll just start the show ranting. I was in a great mood till I got here. At least seven people have... At least seven people have pissed me off since I walked through the door at 11. It's perfect. This is the perfect crescendo of you cutting me off as we're about to trash arenas.
My favorite version of D'Lo and KC is the one where D'Lo goes, I was in a great mood till I got here. Can't wait.
True, I was.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I are the Insiders. We'll be back on Monday at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.